Meanwhile, 4.5 short hours later, I woke up to a bad dream about, the world. And so I don't even remember what I was talking about. Something about, let's see, Jews maybe? How they're fucking destroying our society and making us apologize for like things that are like really blatantly obvious, something like that. But I was talking about this kid, this goofy kid, this Jewish guy who was running this Bitcoin, this cryptocurrency exchange, and how like the Jewish powers that be was able to prop up this kid with various dignitaries and stuff. Like you can see like pictures of him with Tony Blair and Bill Clinton, and of course, they have this kid on stage. He's the focus of attention, and then you have the former Prime Minister of Great Britain and the former President of the United States, all looking at him as he's a golden boy. The Jews are in the audience. They photograph that, and then they use that then to convince other dignitaries. Wow, this kid's clearly the golden boy because the most corrupt president in the world, and rapist, Bill Clinton. This is fucked up to have to wake up to this shit, right? All right, so, and then it turns out the news story comes out that this kid was funneling money out of his out of the people's coins to donate to he was the largest Democratic Party donator outside of George Soros, right? Who himself sabotaged another goyim financial system called the British Pound Sterling back in around, I guess it was 1993 or something like that, when Soros crashed the British Pound, essentially, shorting it. It took raked it over the coals through an elaborate arbitrage scheme involving the Bank of England and the, like I said, the who are the custodians of the British Pound Sterling, and he crash that dollar while making huge amounts of money, right? So this kid's crashing the cryptocurrencies, and if you look at all the major crashes in cryptocurrencies in the last couple months, it's all been Jews. Somebody put together a chart, and it shows this is just Jew, 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 Jew that's doing it, right? So this kid laundered the money out of those people's store of value. I don't know, I don't know if I talked about this, but I've been meaning to talk about it. But you have gold, that's been a store of value. In case anybody doesn't know what a store of value is, it's just what it means. It's a place where you can store value. Government bonds would be a store of value, but we're finding out that it's not a very good store of value anymore because in order for a store of value to have value, the people who are going to be entrusting it have to entrust it, have to have faith in it. They have to, well, not faith, but they have to have confidence that it's a legitimate store of value. Now, the crypto people are trying to say, oh, gold, gold schmold, gold is so old, forget it as a crypto. This Jewish kid, that's a better store of value. This kid. Store of value with the hairdo like that. No. No, gold, yes. Gold, yes. You can't make it, But Jew kids like this, a diamond dozen. They're everywhere, right? So, just by mere virtue of the fact that rarity alone imparts a sense of value to a thing, an object, or whatever. The fact that, while Jews are relatively rare in the overall population at large, they certainly are not sparsely found in the financial world. They're everywhere. They run the whole thing. So they're not rare. They're in abundance. And doofasses like this kid, crazy, stupid kid, they're everywhere, right? Ready to rip off the goy. So it's not a store of value, right? So, anyways, he took all these this money that people had entrusted with him, and he gave the money to a bunch of friends of his in the form of investments in companies that he and his friends had set up. And there's a whole list of all these companies. And I've heard commentators saying, oh, it's so bad. All these companies, too, are going to be in trouble now that the FBX has failed. No, they're not, because the whole idea was this was a planned collapse. This was a controlled demolition. This was not an accident. So those companies that got investments, they already spent their your crypto money. So Goyim, the average Joe Schmo who has $10,000 or $100,000 in some cryptocurrency says, I think it's be a great idea to give it to this Jewish kid over here. So let me do that because there's pictures of him with Bill Clinton. And so, of course, that, that's really impressive, right? So I'll give this guy, I'll take my $10,000 in gold. I'll convert it to this Jewish FBX and give it to this Jew kid. All right. So the Jew kid took that value and then immediately cashed it back in for gold in whatever way they do, and then gave it to his friends as an investment, right? It was an investment. As an investment, you have to throw up scare quotes every time you make a sentence in this world. And you always got to go like this, because nothing means what it is anymore. So those people knew the gig, so they had to spend that money on whatever, capital assets or whatever they spent it on, stuff that is irrevocable. You cannot get it back. So when people go, so naturally the question is that, well, if there was $26 billion there and the kid owned $26 billion, and if there was several, I don't know, $100 billion in that whole exchange or whatever, where did the money go? Well, we can see it's been funneled successfully out. And so all these people going, oh, well, yeah, all these companies, well, all these people who invested, there's going to be a bankruptcy proceeding and and they'll get some or a portion of their money back. No. You may get some token, 2 pennies on a dollar, while the Jews are having a ball with your money. But it was a controlled demolition. It was a controlled implosion of that cryptocurrency. No question about it. So there's this huge list of companies, and when you who got all this stolen cryptocurrency and who quickly spent it. Harry Vox is saying, I haven't done the research into these companies yet. But let me tell you, yes, that money is gone. Okay, that's it. And most of those companies are going to be Jewish, because this is not an operation run by Christians, not by Buddhists, not by Hindus, not by Islamic people. No. So that leaves only one other group left. And why people say, and then they go, oh, well, we don't control everything. Well, yes, you do, and you say you do, because people like Alan Dershowitz and people like Joel Stein, investigative journalist of the LA Times, said, of course we control everything. And there was another guy in the Brooklyn newspaper said, yeah, Jew, said, of course we Jews control everything. Okay, control the media and all that stuff. And then when you show them proof that, of course you control everything. What are you talking about? Then they shift the narrative to this is the Alan Dershowitz narrative. Okay, well, don't apologize for that, because we're so good at the media and we're so good at banking. That's why we control it. Okay, so they both times they say they don't control it. And then when you say, well, yeah, you do control it, then the narrative, they run the other narrative, which is, well, what's to say, why, what's the problem? Because we're really good at it. That's why we control it. It's chicken or the egg kind of situation argument they make. Okay. And then when you say, well, no, you're not, because you're failing and everybody's losing their money. All the goys are losing their money, but you Jews aren't losing your money. You're getting richer and richer. I see a pattern here. The Jews run the money supply and Jews run the government. Then the money supply and the government is failing. I say it's not failing. It's because the Jews are getting richer and we're getting poorer. So that's not a fail. That's a success for the Jew. All right. And then they go. And then the third narrative that they run is, well, why is it necessary to point that out, that Jews run it? You know, that's anti-Semitic to point this out. Okay, so we don't control the media. We don't control the banking system. And we do control the media. We do control the banking system, but we're doing it because we're really good at it. Well, we're not that good at it because it's failing. So, but why do you feel it necessary to point out that Jews are running it? There's so many fucking Jew narratives. It's like, it's a really bad idea to have Jews run your whole goddamn show. It's a really bad idea. Especially when you read the fucking Talmud and the Sanhedrin. Fuck the three-year-olds, it says. It's okay to have sex with the three-year-olds. Right? It's okay to steal and fuck the goyim over. If you kill the goyim, it's fine. No problem. But if a goyim kills you, oh my God, death to the goyim. It's unbelievable when you read that document. You're like, it's just, you know. So people have to familiarize yourself with that. I guess that's like the starting point, is when you have this question about the Jew, right? The starting point is, have you read the Talmud? Have you read the Sanhedrin 54b or 53b also? The whole thing. They're talking about fucking goats and animals and children. If a man fucks a goat, can he fuck his sister? You know, if he fucks a child, it's like poking the child in the between the legs with a piece of wood, or all this like medieval shit that they have not disavowed. And I'm sorry, but there comes a time where, you know, to participate in polite society, you have to say, okay, that Talmud is really nasty, but they won't do that. But yet we have to disavow, you know, everything that they want us to when they want us to. So anyways, investigators like Harry Vox are raising, you know, more than just a few eyebrows, and there are deep furrows, let's say, in the brows of all these poor goyim who lost their pretty much everything. It was just goyim, I think. I haven't done the research, but, you know, I've done the research on this particular idea. But since I've done so much research, I'll do my Noah Harari impersonation. Whenever he presents a pre-rehearsed point that he's about to present that is the key salient point that he wanted to get across, but he wants to make it look like it's like he's just coming up with it on the fly. He always puts his hand to his thing and goes, you know. And so when Noah Harari talks, he goes, we have the money. And we're going to do this. And he does his head jerking. And then when it's the salient point that he's already rehearsed, he knows he's going to deliver it. But he wants it to sound like, he always goes like, puts his hand on it. And then he delivers the final line that, you know, we're fucking you, us Jews, you know. So I haven't done the research, but I think it's Jews that did not lose their money. So if you do the research, and I urge people to do the research, come up with the split on, in this FBX debacle, what did the Jews take home and what did the goys get fucked out of? Simple. Simple mathematics. And you're going to find out that at this point, like I say, I'm just a pattern recognizer. You don't have to know the details. You just have to know Jew. Jews involved. And then you know what the details are going to be. You know you're going to get a hammering. Okay. So, yep, when the bill arrives, it's going to be the goys are going to be paying it, like always, you know. It's going to be a fleecing of the sheep, fleecing of the goy. For people who aren't familiar with how this scam works, here's how it works. The Jews say that, oh, this is the latest golden boy. He's the latest and greatest store of value. This kid with the hair, oh yes, it's like gold, you know, that ounce or ton of gold that represents the stored up wealth in a nice gold-colored metal package that is rare, and its rarity gives it its intrinsic value and extrinsic value. Gold has all these things. So this rather putsy Jewish kid and his goofy Harry Potter fan girlfriend, because apparently it was his college girlfriend's or something. It's all a bunch of friends that were dating each other in college or something. Those are the principal CEOs and the officers of this corporation, of this scam, who bilked us all, operating it down in the Bahamas offshore tax haven, where they're operating outside the laws of the United States. I mean, when you decide to open up your store of value in a country like the Cayman Islands or, you know, the Bahamas or one of these, you know, Panama or something like that, you are doing so specifically because you want to avoid the prying eye of U.S. regulators, right? Not like they're going to regulate this kid. The Security Exchange Commission is working, is pals, head of the Security Exchange Commission. I'll give you a guess. I'll give you one guess. If the head of the SEC, I don't remember his name, it's not important, something Jewish sounding, right? But I'll give you a hint. He's not Christian. He's not Buddhist. He's not Muslim. He's not Hindu. Okay. So, I mean, when they go, oh, how could you say that these Jews control everything? Yeah, okay. It's because they do. Okay. So, this SEC and the Department of Justice, headed by a man who is not Hindu, not Muslim, not Christian, not Buddhist. I mean, it's ridiculous, but a bunch of Jews there. And the Jews will not mount a serious investigation of this Jewish kid. Why? Because this kid was the guy that was set up to do this sabotage of the cryptocurrency space to create discomfort and lack of confidence in the decentralized portion of the big of the cryptocurrency sphere. He lobbied Congress and he lobbied government. We see him in meetings. I don't know if it was a Senate or House testimony where he's basically trying to get more regulation in on the decentralized aspect, but not on the centralized aspect of cryptocurrency, which he and his Jewish cabal run. Okay, so they want to get rid of all these pesky decentralized aspects of cryptocurrency, and time to regulate that decentralized stuff. But the centralized stuff, like my crypto exchange, God knows why you would need a crypto exchange for. That's the whole point of cryptocurrency. You don't need an exchange. It's decentralized. That's the whole idea behind it. So the idea of centralizing it and then using it as some kind of exchange traded fund. I don't even know the full details of how FBX app absolutely operated, because like I have a life and I'm actually out working. I'm doing physical labor, building security systems for myself, actually, so I can see when they come to try to kill me. But yeah, this kid was nothing. He was a stupid kid, but he was connected and he was the one that was set up. And like I said, his father, the father of the girl who's the Harry Potter fan, who's the CEO of this thing, the goofy looking girl, looks like she's like 12, 13 years old. Her father taught at MIT alongside the guy who was the head of the Security Exchange Commission, Jew. And this other guy was Jew. So it's just Jew Central down there, right? I don't remember their names. Like I said, it doesn't matter. Some people remember, they'll when they tell this story, they feel that it's necessary to get all the particulars right. No, it's not necessary. You don't have to know the name of the head of the Security Exchange Commission. You just have to know Jew. That's it. And then you just say, oh, the Jewish head of the Security Exchange Commission is friends with the Jewish father of the Jewish girl who's the CEO of the Jewish company who ripped off the Goyim. That's a better way to tell this story than whatever the guy's name is, Greg Gershon, or I don't even know what the hell the guy's name, something like Gershwi or Gurdon or whatever. Not important. Doesn't matter. All that matters is they're Jews, right? And that we all have to do what the Jews are telling us we have to do, right? We all have to say what the Jews are telling us we have to say. We all have to be very careful not to say what the Jews do not want us to say because they have the money. I mean, wait a second. We're not allowed to say that. We're not allowed to say that they have the money. We're not allowed to say that Jews control the money supply. We can't say that truth, that Jews control the media. We can't say that either. Or if you say that, you have to apologize and give them $500,000, right? You have to say you're sorry that you said that the Jews control the media. I mean, how ridiculous. And that you realize how hurtful that was, how hateful that was to say Jews control the media. I don't exactly know how stating the obvious that some group controls something is necessarily hateful, right? It's by default, it's hateful. If you say that Buddhists control, I don't know, something that Buddhists control, does that mean you hate Buddhists? No. If you say Christians control whatever, the sale of chastity rings, does that mean you hate Christians just because you said that they control something? No. But if you say that Jews control something, that's by default, that is a hateful statement. Why? Well, because they don't, they say. Oh, and then when you prove them that they do, it's because, well, why should you point it out? Because we're good at it, and that's why we control it. Oh, you do control it. Oh, well, why do you feel it necessary to point it out? And again, all the Jews simultaneously run like 5 or 10 narratives of suffering and of you know, woe is me, you know, woe is me. Oh, why is everybody always picking on us? As they completely dismantle our society, right? Poison our children, poison our elderly, steal our money, get us involved in war after war after war, lie to us constantly. I mean, look at the news. look at the Jewish controlled news. Look at the Jewish control. They say, Putin attacked Crimea completely unprovoked. Dude, we can like read and we know that we spent $5 billion provoking Russia. It's not unprovoked. Stop lying. That's what you say to that. Whenever Jews say, why do you always say these mean things about us? We didn't do anything. Say, stop lying. You're lying. Yes, you do. You're fucking destroying our world. Stop lying. Right? God damn it. Oh, you have to love us. No, you don't. Oh, have you ever heard of such a hateful thing to say Jews control the media? Unbelievable. So this putzy Jewish kid comes out of nowhere just months ago, and suddenly he's the king of crypto, right? Running the massive FBX exchange, crypto exchange. Now, why anyone, like I said, would put any money into a kid that looks like this? Come on, man. You put it in a private wallet, man. That's the whole point. Don't centralize it. And, you know, we're given this narrative, too, by these Jews, like the other great reset Jew, Jeremy, what's his name? Jeremy Grifter, Grifton, Grifkin. Rifkin, Jeremy Rifkin. Freudian slip there. He's a grifter, all right. And he's going, oh yes, in front of Vice magazine audience, where Vice magazine sets up a photo op for Jeremy the grifter, Jeremy Grifter Grifton, Grifkin, Rifkin, and a bunch of like millennial douchebag idiots who don't know anything, right? And so Vice magazine says, oh, let's get him down there. That's stupid. They don't know. And we'll make it look really cool, and we'll have Jeremy Grifton, Jeremy the Grifter, go in there and grift on them and tell them how great this version of the Great Reset that he's been pushing is, about how we're moving to how the fourth industrial revolution is going to be decentralized. He says, "Oh, I see. Oh yes, everybody's going to have 3D printers and going to print up their own, you know, heart monitor or whatever. They're 3D print up their own car." Yeah, sure, Jeremy. Sorry, no more 3D printers, by the way. You're gonna see. You are going to see part of this, and this was codified in the great lockstep document that I brought to the world. That I wrestled from obscurity in 2010. I first saw that document. Tried to bring it out. And then in 2014, as the things in that document started coming out, I started blasting it everywhere. But I've been on these fuckers for a long time. In that document, they specifically say that, oh yes, we're entering a time of I don't know how exactly, I don't remember how they worded it, but like limited innovation and increasing citizen pushback. That was pretty much the exact verbatim line. Limited innovation and citizen pushback against an increasingly authoritarian, strong-armed government. I see. What the fuck does that have? What the fuck does... How the fuck, if that was supposedly a pandemic exercise, which was the point of lockstep, if that was the point of lockstep document and it was a pandemic exercise, where the fuck would they, how the hell would they extrapolate in a so-called exercise if it was an exercise and not a plan, not an instructional guide, right? If it was a simulation, how the hell would anybody from the fucking Rockefeller Institute, which is, again, is a bunch of goyim and Jews that they get paid a lot of money to implement a plan with the veneer, with a very thin academic veneer to give it credibility to what is essentially a takeover, a destruction of our rights and a takeover by these Jew bankers. Okay, so they give it that's the purpose of all the foundations and all the think tanks, is to imbue the takeover plan with a veneer of academic credibility, right? So they go with limited innovation and increasing citizen pushback. Limited innovation. How the fuck would you be able to extrapolate that somehow a pandemic would enter us into a time of limited innovation? No. That's the whole plan from the beginning. That comes part and parcel with this massive centralization, massive effort of monopolization, the sabotage of the inflation of the currency and the sabotage of the commodities. Has a centralizing, monopolizing effect. The end result, when you inflate prices like they do, and you put out the small and mid-sized businesses, like the Rockefeller lockstep document was designed to do. I mean, you cannot run a small or mid-sized business if you're locked in your house because some fucking Jew tells you to, right? Because the Jew has made up a largely fake pandemic. There is some kind of pathogen, whether it's a virus or bacteria. Everybody, oh, no such thing as virus, is fine, whatever. There's something, because a lot of people are getting runny noses and they're losing their sense of smell to a degree that they hadn't previously in previous flus. Oh no, everybody loses their sense of smell. There's too many credible people that have said that they've lost their sense of smell. I'm just getting my sense of smell back and it's not working quite right. Okay. But for about 6 months, nothing. And then at the end of the 6 months, some very weird things, nothing smelled like it should. Don't put a lemon or a lime under my nose. It's going to smell like a a wet, old, dirty dog, and things just don't smell the same. Okay, so yeah, so this idea of this the Great Reset is actually a sabotage of innovation. And why do they want to sabotage innovation? Because the Jews who own all who are centralizing everything into monopoly structures that they own and control and govern, right? They don't want us to innovate, because the secret is that the innovation process now in the 21st century is easy. Anyone can make something that's better than what the Jews are offering us in a day. It doesn't take, like, for example, you take a look at the Jewish Facebook. Any basic designer can design a product that is a hell of a lot better than Facebook. That is such a hobbled, that has such hobbled functionality. It's such a piece of shit, right? But yet he has like monopoly power on that. They are cornering the market. Well, not anymore. I mean, it's a failing business model, but that business model, which is so cheesy, can be beat by anybody, right? Unless, of course, it has monopolistic power. And by having this centralized monopolistic control, you're able to squash innovation, crush the competitor, and that's what we see. And so a lot of people are stuck. I don't know why people would remain on Facebook. That's a joke. They kicked Harry Vox off for telling the truth about Jews 11 years ago. 2001, I got kicked off. 2011, I got kicked off. Right? Before, as Helen says, before it was cool to get kicked off, I was kicked off. Right? It only became cool for the Alex Joneses of the world to get kicked off in 2017, 2018, like this. No, no, no. Harry Vox was kicked off in 2011. Okay, so yeah, that's what's going on. And so this effort, this failed cryptocurrency FBX collapse, was specifically to create a lack of confidence in these distributed, diffused networks, and to make way for the central bank digital currency, which is what this is all leading to. And this is why, again, the Jew who's at the head of the SEC was friends and a fellow lecturer at MIT with the father of the girl who's the CEO of FBX. Again, it's not so important that everybody pays attention to the details. It's really not. It's just in Jew land, the main thing you have to know is you're getting fucked in Jew land. And the other main thing is boycott Jew land. Stop giving your money to Jews. It's very simple. You don't have to, you know, I wouldn't have to come up here and tell you all these stories every day about this or that Jew who's giving you a hammering. I wouldn't have to do this if we could just like get on the same page and boycott them. I don't do business, or I try my very best to not do business with Jewish companies. I wouldn't buy a Procter & Gamble or Johnson & Johnson product. I'm back to basics. I brush my teeth with baking soda. I wash my hair with very basic stuff. I'm making my own soaps at this point, because I do not trust these Jewish infrastructures of packaged products that invariably have arsenic, benzene, lead. You know, I'm sorry, but they are telling you in their Jewish media all the time, we're poisoning you. We're poisoning you. You know, I mean, how many times have people seen the story? Oh, discovered more benzene in the food and in the products that you use every day. Okay. I have two shows in the editing bay, two shows on the poisoning of the food that are almost done and have to be presented. I completed those shows months ago, right? I haven't had the time to edit them because new Jews keep coming up that require my attention. I have shows I want to do about Kanye West, thanking him for having the courage to say what he said, right, and lose $600 million. I'm sorry, but if you sacrifice that much money and refuse to apologize, that's a good start. You know, so I'm going to do a show on Kanye West and about how it's good to get the ball rolling and about how much I enjoyed that interview that he did with the Drink Kings. That was actually a rather fun interview to watch. If Kanye was in my nightclub, when I had my nightclub, he would have been a pretty fun guy. I would have invited him into the office to hang out and have some drinks of the good stuff. Because the stuff that we sold out on the floor was not the good stuff. We had the good stuff in the office. Okay. Sometimes we had some good stuff out there, but it was an underground illegal nightclub where it was all kids. They were all young, 18, 17, 16. I didn't care. If 16-year-olds came in there and I'm like, oh, I don't know, this is bad, I would say, don't drink. Don't be drinking until you're 18. But I didn't care if they came into the club. Right? Because, you know, they have a right to have a good time like everybody. Right? So I just didn't want to get in trouble with if the cops did get in. And then the underage kids are drinking. No, that I didn't want to have in my nightclub. But I didn't care if there were 16-year-old kids in the nightclub. I didn't care. It was illegal anyways, and it was the hottest club, and everybody wanted to get in there. And it was, you know, it was pretty wild scene over there. It was called The Castle back in 2011 around there. But the cops came all the time, and the fire department eventually shut that thing down. Where was I? Oh, yes. The Jews. Okay. So they wanted to regulate it. And yeah, this is a controlled collapse. And for the purposes of problem, reaction, solution. Thank you, David Icke. You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, Icke was right about, you know, everything, you know, including the lizards. Of course, these people have forked tongues. The Queen had forked tongue coming out the other side. So, yeah, he was right about everything. And the Department of Justice, justice, you got to throw up those, scare quotes when you talk about, like, when you talk about the, pretty much, scare quotes belong in almost every sentence when you talk about the world we live in today. If you're using official terms, you got to throw those scare quotes up. So the Department of Justice, Merrick Garland, Jew boy. So, and I never used to use terms like Jew boy. Let me be clear. I would say, you know, Harry, you got to keep it up above board. You can't be too offensive. You know, you have to, because, you know, so you can say Jewish people at first. You can say first, like the this is my journey section of the conversation. My journey to how I got to the liberal use of the term Jew boy. Okay. So I would, if you used kike on my comment section, I would delete you. I was like, we don't want anybody using the term kike on my board, because that's going to make us look bad. It's going to give the Jews ammunition, because that's a derogatory term. But I was saying at first it was, you know, maybe 30 years ago, I actually bought into this idea that you're not allowed to say the J word. You have to say the I word and the Z word. So you can only say Zionist or Israeli. And I was like, yeah, but I always had objection to that, because I was like, well, yeah, but most of these people, most of these Jews that are fucking us are not Israeli and they're not Zionists, but they sure are Jews. The principal characteristic, the principal feature, the principal like reality of that kid, that the Jew boy at FBX, at the Sam Bankman fiend, right? The principal, facilitating feature which allows that kid to have done what he did is not because he's brilliant, not because he's a great mind at economics or finance, not because he's so smart about the crypto realm and smarter than everybody else, not that he's Israeli, because he's not. And if not, because he's Zionist, because he cares more about money than Zion. Okay. The principal facilitating aspect of that kid, that characteristic, is he's Jewish. Right? If Harry Vox wanted to try to pull the shit that he did, Harry Vox wouldn't be able to do it. Unless I, you know, Where's my yarmulke? I have a yarmulke around here somewhere. Where did I put that damn thing? Oh, maybe it fell on the floor. Oh, it's on the floor. Gotta get shake the dust off. Made in China. Okay. So I got the cheap yarmulke. I got the, okay. So if I brush up on my Yiddish and Hebrew and I could fake it, like, because I'm going to come out with a How to Fake You're a Jew course, right? Where it's like a guidebook of like sayings that you say when you meet other Jews. Like in the original Star Trek, they had like Vulcans. And I don't remember what it was, but the Vulcans, like they I don't know, Spock would go like, you know, like they had like these signs that they give to each other, you know, like that. And that's, oh, you know, it's another Vulcan. Well, Jews have that kind of thing. Like, you know, I don't know that stuff. And I'm starting to compile like How to Fake You're a Jew, right? And basically it'll be like a little pamphlet because, you know, nobody wants to read a whole book about that. But it's like it's gonna be like a 10-page pamphlet of things, of sayings like that you would say at different months of the year. So for example, I'm just making this up because I really don't know. Let's say there's a Jewish holiday called Mishachmana. Okay, and that happens in March. So in the March Mishachmana. Okay, and then there would be like a thing that you would say to another Jew when you meet him. Are you having a good Mishachmana or something like that? And so we have to know all these things. This way, you know, like if a cop pulls you over for speeding, you could say something like, I have to go to my mishmanigach. And the cop goes, well, what's that? And you go, it's the mishmanigach. I need to go. And the cop will say, looks at the other cop and goes, Jew. And the other cop goes, yeah, Jew. And then he goes, oh, let him go. Oh, the battery failed. Okay, I have to put a new battery in. I'm using an SLR, DSLR here. Okay, so Moshachmanan. I think I was doing my Jew impression. I was like, while I was changing the battery, I was like, try to remember. I look terrible in a yarmulke. I would be a terrible, you know. Although I've had people accuse me of being a Jew. If you accuse me of being a Jew, you get banned. Instant ban. People say, you know, if someone goes, Harry's a Jew, and then they get banned, and they get all butthurt that I banned them. Dude, if you call me a Jew, you're toast. You're gone. All right, so I don't remember where I was. So something about, like, how to fake you're a Jew. Yeah. Anyways, so the Department of Justice was supposed to investigate this kid, but, you know, Merrick Garland, I know that name, right? Jew. He's not going to investigate another Jewish billionaire, you know, unless it's to sort of muddle the investigation or exonerate the kid or, you know, a claim that, well, he made mistakes, you know, but not crimes, just mistakes. Bad, poor judgment. No, this was a controlled demolition. This was a theft, my friends. So, yeah. And the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, the Jew, he has his job specifically because of the donations of the Bankmans of the world, this Sam Bankman who did this con. That's why the Democrats came into office, because we're finding out that that's who financed the Democratic Party, right? He took all the money out of the cryptocurrency investors and, money laundered it. And then we find out that he gave them that. They set up this, look, you know, every aspect of the United States government is thoroughly a criminal enterprise. You know, the Republicans were always the criminal enterprise, and but now the Democrats have far surpassed the Republicans in terms of criminality. The Democrats have gone full criminal. It's a criminal organization, right? And we're finding out that he started up this fund where you donate money to help the Ukrainians, and that the United States government, I think, it's been revealed, has funneled money into this cryptocurrency to help the Ukrainians. Okay. And then you follow the money right out of that Ukrainian fund to help the Ukrainians fight the evil Russians, and right to the Democratic Party machinery. And there will be no investigation. And it's unclear whether they will be able to hold on to the House. I don't know. At this point, the corruption is so bad, they could say they could take any election. People don't have the energy. They could take any election, make it obvious that they stole it. And there's just not people don't have enough energy or strength and to combat it. And they've popularized the idea that anybody questioning an election is somehow a criminal now. And they're doing this in Brazil. If you question the election results, you're a criminal. And the United States, if you question, you're an election denier. You know, except when they deny that they lost the election, then that's credible when the criminals. But you're an evil right wing election denier if you think that it's so sketchy that all these candidates got the same numbers of votes. I mean, there's been people making videos where they show, well, look at this precinct in New York State here. They had 130,131. Okay, look at this one. 131,000. Look at 130. Same number in all these places. I see. And this was the same thing that happened in 2004 election. In 2004, I was raising the alarms because all these candidates won on their electronic voting machines with the same number of votes. 131313. I'm saying it. 131313. Now, what that is showing up is a poorly designed algorithm by a guy in the election machine organization that came up with some algorithm in order to flip the election, to seal the election. And they couldn't necessarily have that operation be a very large operation. They couldn't have a lot of numbers of people do that, because at any given time, one of the people who was involved in the programming of that could easily just turn whistleblower. So they have to limit it to the number of people who do the programming to make the election results go 131313. It was something like a Candace Bergen. I remember the names because this was an election that happened. It's like I say, the 2004 elections were. I think it was actually the 2002 election. It was a midterm elections, I think. But it was all these electronic voting machines. And if by now we haven't seen enough examples of how these electronic voting machines are subverting our democratic process, right? Then, you know, we have only ourselves to blame. Well, the party that's in power at the time never seems to want to do anything about the corrupt electronic voting machines, right? Because somehow they feel that they will be the beneficiary of the programming, right? And sometimes they are. Sometimes it shifts. So George Bush was the beneficiary of the rigged election in 2000. That was George Bush received that. And then 2002... the Republicans also were the beneficiaries. Well, now it seems to be the Democrats that are the beneficiaries of the rigged voting machines, right? Because we should have had a Republican Senate, and we did not get that. And that's obviously for crime. We should have gotten rid of Kathy Hochul. Of course, part of the other problem is that the Republicans the Jews who control both parties will refuse to put anyone else up except someone who's going to support Jew power, right? So hour by hour, when I was looking at the saga of this this kid, this stupid kid, Sam Bankman fiend there, the people who are broke ass are the investigative journalists or the journalists who are saying that this kid's broke. That's broke ass when you when you're making stupid statements like that. This kid's not broke. He took care of himself. He's got billions of dollars stashed away. He's got he's laundered millions of dollars to his friends. They have that money. So when they say, "Oh, the money's gone." Yeah. Or they say, "No, the money's not gone." They go, "It's got to be somewhere. Maybe we'll get some of it back." No, it's gone. And they go, "Well, it can't just disappear. It's got to go somewhere." Yes, it went to those friends of his that and those companies that they set up specifically for the purpose of laundering that money, making it look like it was for good causes, of course, I'm sure. You know, ESG, environmental, social, and governance, I think, right? Or good, I don't even know.